Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com. There's a little more than a week left in spring practice for Bronco Mendenhall's football team, and my guest today is Bryce Hall, who's one of the ACC's top cornerbacks. Bryce, thanks for popping over from the McHugh Center. How's your spring going?
So far, spring is an interesting challenge. We're definitely getting pushed harder than we ever have before, and it's something that we need moving forward for this program to, ultimately be the way we want it to be.
One of the guys doing the pushing is the new strength coach or director of football performance, Sean Griswold. What's the change been like working with Coach Griz?
So Coach Griz and his staff are great, man. And one of the biggest differences is they really push us more. We're putting heavier weights on our backs and we're lifting heavier, overall. And then also we're putting on more weight, getting stronger. And so we're really, building our work capacity. And we're really just kind of trying to become more physical and a lot bigger overall.
You are still only in your second year of school at UVA, but on the team, you're kind of an elder statesman now. You've started a lot of games, played a lot of football. Does it feel different this spring when, last year's senior class has moved on? Mm-hmm. You will be an upperclassman in the fall. Have you kind of transitioned into a different role on the team as a leader?
Yeah. I feel like having 2 years under my belt, I have so much experience and knowledge that I can give out and share. And so, I find my role really just trying to educate and, share as much knowledge I have as possible with the guys around me. And so ultimately, any way, us as a unit can, be as the best we can possibly be, that's just, I'm trying to use my knowledge and experience and wisdom to share that out. And so we can all just elevate our games.
At the end of practice this morning, you had a role in the Thursday's Hero presentation. Mm-hmm. How does it get determined which players will participate in that each week?
So Jerry will kind of assign the roles.
Jerry Capone, yeah.
Yeah, and so he'll, yesterday, he let me know that he wanted me to have a part in Thursday's Hero. And so we actually, the week before, we did a walk for cancer. A bunch of us were going to support Matt Edwards. And so, we had actually made a video. And so since I was one of the guys in the video that made it, we all signed the pink gloves that we gave to our Thursday's Hero. And so I was one of the guys who was in the video. So I think that's one way, Jerry kind of came and found me and asked me to have that role.
I mean, obviously that tradition means a lot to the Thursday Heroes. You get a lot out of it as a player to see that every week and see what these people are dealing with and have to overcome.
Yeah, it's inspiring for me to see, we kind of can complain and as athletes kind of think we have it so tough and, through the rigorous, schedule of our day-to-day lives. But, you see what people, are actually battling for their lives. And so it's really humbling. And it's really, just kind of like, gratification of what, even though what we go through is so hard each and every day, we really, we're not really having to battle for our lives like mm-hmm. some of these other people. So, it's really just humbling to kind of see their stories and learn about them. And it's just, it's amazing what some of these people go through and how strong they really are.
You came to UVA in the summer of 2016, and I believe you were initially slotted at wide receiver, right?
Yeah, so initially when I had committed, as a wide receiver.
What was that first training camp like for you? Your friends over in the video office at the McHugh Center said to be sure to ask you about the strikes you received that first summer?
Yeah, it was rough. And I had, like, within, like, the first 3 or 4 weeks, I had, like, 3 strikes already. And so...
So is that like a demerit then, something like that?
Well, I mean, I think it's worse. I mean, you know, the first strike, I had to come in at, like, 4:30 and do, you know, my accountability. And so, and it wasn't easy. Like, it was strenuous. And on top of, you know, the physical mm-hmm. activities that they had, you know, the training that we had to go through. And then I think it really, like, sucked when, you know, I kind of let my teammates down and they had to come in with me and do the accountability. And so it really was just like a wake-up call for me. And I knew, you know, that, you know, after being brought up by, like, some amazing people like Coach Hagans, like Andre Lavroni, he's mm-hmm. one of the people, you know, they really, like, picked me up. And so I was able to kind of get on the right track. And I knew, you know, I had to get organized and had to stay on top of things, because they were things that were in my control. And so I'm grateful for, you know, those struggles that I went through, because, you know, I think they really humbled me and they made things clear about, you know, how serious I needed to take just being organized and on top of everything, whether it's school, football, and just like personal life and stuff like that.
You committed to Virginia in July, the July before your senior year of high school. Mike London was the head coach here then. Did you have any second thoughts about UVA after the coaching change?
No. You know, after we kind of like, you know, a bunch of us kind of had like it in the back of our minds or feeling that, you know, he could get fired. And I just remember we had like a group message of all the guys that had committed. And so we had, like, said, even after he got fired, we're like, okay, you know, we're going to stick with this. We're going to stick it out. You know, we're all going to stay committed mm-hmm. because, you know, we were hopeful for, you know, something better to come. And so I knew 100% I wasn't going to, just because the coach got fired, I wasn't going anywhere.
In your bio, Harrisburg, PA is listed as your hometown. Were you born and raised there?
No. So I actually was born in a hospital in Orlando, and then I moved to Kansas when I was a couple months old. And so I grew up there till I was in fourth grade. And in fourth grade, that's where I moved to Pennsylvania. Then I grew up there. Went to middle school, elementary school there, and high school there. So, I mean, I really grew up there, and that's right. where, you know, all my friends are, and I really consider that home because I lived there for the most of my life.
For people who aren't familiar with Harrisburg, it's a state capital, right?
Yeah.
What was it like growing up there? Did you go to Hershey Park?
Yeah. Hershey Park got old after, like, you know, when I was in eighth grade, and I, like, got a season pass, and so I would go there, like, all the time in the summer, and then after a while, like, it kind of got old, so. But Harrisburg, it was really just, like, it was a small town, and everybody knew everybody, like, around. And so, you know, I had an amazing group of friends that, you know, I really stuck with, and I'm still tight with them today. We called ourselves, like, the Fab Four. And so, you know, just being around them really, you know, I was, and luckily, you know, they're doing some amazing things too. And so, like, being, you know, blessed enough to be surrounded by them, and then just, you know, I had really good people. Like, in Harrisburg, everybody really, like, when you make it out, they really root for you and support you. And so it's not really, like, hate or mm-hmm. a lot of that stuff. You know, it's really, like, generally, like, people are happy to see you, you know, succeed, because, you know, few people were... I come from kind of like really do big things, because it's really hard because you don't get that much exposure and stuff like that. So, you know, I was fortunate enough to live in a small place where, you know, with good people, and, you know, that is my home. And so it was good to grow up there.
You went to Bishop McDevitt High School, which has a big time football tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the graduates who've gone on to the NFL, LeSean McCoy, Ricky Waters, Aaron Berry. Are you kind of aware of that when you come into that program, the tradition that it has? And
yes.
You know, I'm sure there are great expectations there for football, aren't there?
Yeah, so we were, like, one of the few schools in the area that really had that kind of, like, traditional, like, you know, talent that would come out. And so, you know, I was, like, when I went there, I had heard about, you know, LeSean McCoy and then, you know, some of those older players that had kind of really made it out and done some big things. But it was just... It wasn't like so much like a lot of pressure, you know. I went in there and my coaches had so much like had a lot of faith in, you know, me as an, you know, as an early kid, and so like that kind of where my confidence grew, you know. I really didn't like know how good I can be until they like really encouraged me, and you know they told me, you know, like you have potential to play, you know, a high Division I school, and so, you know, I went in open-minded, but I wouldn't say I felt like I was going to go there and be the man or dominate, you know, but it just like, you know, they had faith, my coaches had faith in me, and so, you know, once I actually started playing, and you know, I kind of came to realize, okay, like I could be pretty good.
You didn't play on defense, at least regularly, you've told me, till your senior year of high school.
Yeah.
But you put up big numbers as a receiver, and you were All-State on offense. You did not have a ton of great offers, though. When I did a story on you earlier, you said Coastal Carolina, Delaware State, Albany, Duquesne, New Hampshire, Delaware. Mm-hmm. Did you have any doubts about your ability to succeed at this level, the FBS level, when Virginia offered you and you accepted it?
No. I was like, I knew.
And were you frustrated during the process, feeling like, hey, I should be getting more interest than I am from bigger schools?
Yeah. No, one thing about me is, like, I knew, like, the way I would work. And so that – and I knew, like – I had confidence in myself, you know. I started to develop a work ethic, you know, towards, like, I really kind of figured out, you know, just from, you know, just numerous, like, people just kind of showing me ways to work. And so, like, from sophomore year on, I really, like, was confident in my ability. And so, like, you know, when I was going to Virginia, I knew, you know, like, I could do this. And but it was funny when they told me I was going to play cornerback, and I was like, oh, you know, like, yeah. I knew, you know, maybe I could work at this and become good. But it was just like, man, like, who am I to try and play corner for the first time in high school and guard, you know, ACC receivers? And so that made me, you know, I knew that I wasn't going to, you know, be the most physically gifted out there or have the greatest, you know, technique when I first started. So I really kind of, like, prided myself. I had to have some edge. I really, you know, studied, you know, film, and then I would, like, spend extra time after practices, you know, working my, you know, trying to train my technique and get it better after, you know, with Coach Howell. And Coach Howell is a great coach, and so, you know, he really helped me along this process so much, just, you know, being there. And then, you know, I would go to his office and we'd go over kind of plays and stuff like that. And so, you know, I always felt that, you know, anywhere I went, you know, I felt like I could go, you know, anywhere. And that was a little frustrating, you know, because I kind of felt like I was getting under-recruited. But, you know, I'm so glad that things happened the way they did, and I feel like I'm exactly where I need to be. And so, you know, everything happens for a reason. Everything worked out.
Even with your inexperience at the position, you ended up starting 7 games as a true freshman in 2016. You started all 13 games last season. Weren't you banged up at least late in the year last year? Did you have a knee, and did that get cleaned up, or –
Yeah, so it was like after the Boston College game, I had found out I had like a torn meniscus in my left knee, And so that kind of like mentally, that kind of like, you know, kind of messed with me a little bit. You know, I felt like I didn't have the same spring to my step. And I felt like I was just getting my stride going, especially after, you know, North Carolina and then the couple games before that. I felt like I was really kind of hitting my peak in the midseason. And so, like, that was really like a mental battle because, you know, I really had to be extra, I had really had to be great at everything else because I wasn't going to have the same speed step, you know. But, you know, I played the rest of the season out, didn't do bad. I felt like I did okay, you know. Definitely could have been a lot better. But yeah, and then after the bowl game, day after, got it cleaned up, got a little scope, and now I'm good as new and right back at it.
You mentioned your passion for film study. I know you started doing that your first year. Whenever I'm over in Luke Goldstein's office at the McHugh Center where the video stuff is, you are often in there breaking down film. Does that give you an edge, do you think? I know you're serious about that.
Totally. And
who kind of got you into that? Was there a mentor, one of the older DBs, or?
I really like, you know, no, I really kind of looked up, like, whenever I want to figure out things, you know, I forget who told me this, but like they say, you know, whatever you need to find, you can always find information like on the internet. And so it's like, it's a great tool. And so like, once I figured out I was going to be like corner, I wanted like to figure out what separates like the best corners and, you know, what do they do? Cause I'm really like just a curious person. And so I think that's what helps me a lot. I'm just really curious about how things work.
And you can look over there. I mean, you can look at college film. Yeah. You can look at NFL film, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you have a vast
library.
There are things that are at your fingertips. Basically, any corner in the game, right? If you want to look at it, you can find film on them.
Exactly. And I think I learned it. I learned that Kobe. I remember Kobe, he was saying something in an interview. He was like, one of the things that separates him, somebody said, like, you know, he was willing to learn, like, anything and everything. Like, he would steal, like, a high school kid's move. Like, if he would go to a high school game, he would steal a high school kid's move if he liked it. And so, like, just, like, being knowledgeable. And then, so I would, like, so in the film room, I would kind of, like, just, you know, study the best of the best corners and see, you know, what they did and kind of, you know, what kind of stood out to them. And I'd, like, watch interviews or, like, how kind of they operated and stuff like that. I was just really curious. And so, you know, the more I kind of came across that stuff, you know, the more, like, you know, guys would say how much, you know, film helped them. And one of the guys that I really kind of looked up to first was Richard Sherman. He actually played with my brother at Stanford, and so I just know how much he spent time into the film room, and so I knew that was going to be, you know, key for me if I wanted an edge somehow. First, just kind of like understanding what, you know, really good corners do, and then, you know, understanding what kind of your opponent's going to do so you can make plays and not be like, because in this league, it's so hard to just react off pure athleticism. A lot of guys can do it. Me personally, I feel like I'm more efficient when I can anticipate and know where plays are going to happen, and so I can be ready for it.
The defense lost three big-time players in Andrew Brown, Quinn, and Micah, but basically everybody else is back from last season, plus Tim Harris, who, you know, had a medical red shirt last year. What are your expectations for this defense this season? I know Coach Mendenhall has said he thinks it will be a better group and it needs to be a better group.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that 100% because if you look at it, you know, we have so many people returning. And I think just being with, you know, the staff longer, we start to understand the expectations and how to really play, you know, dominant defense. And so, like, you know, we have the talent to do it. We definitely have the talent. to be, you know, dominant. And so, you know, that's our goal, really. And so every practice, every opportunity is crucial. And so I think we can, you know, I have a lot of faith in this defense. And, you know, we can be as good, you know, if not better than anybody else in the ACC on the defense. And that's kind of, you know, I think where we want to be, you know, as a whole, you know, the best in the ACC.
Your outside linebackers coach, Kelly Papenga, was recently named co-defensive coordinator, along with your position coach, Nick Howell. And then Coach Mendenhall obviously has had a big hand in the defense your first 2 years. Has there been any shift that you've noticed, you know, from the leadership standpoint? Do Coach Howell and Coach Papenga carry a bigger load in that area?
I think it's pretty much the same, really. Yeah, I haven't really noticed a difference.
Is there a DB in the program that fans maybe don't know much about, you know, whom you expect to have a big year?
Joey Blunt.
Yeah.
Joey Blunt.
He's the guy. What about other corners who have him? I know Crowell was hurt most of the – or he ended up redshirting. Darius Bratton played just a little bit. Any of the young guys coming up you're really high on?
Yeah. You know, I really like Darius Bratton. He's been working really hard this spring. I think he can be special. He has all the tools to be, you know, really good. G. Crowell, you know, he can be, you know, he's got just, like, so much. He's got a lot of gifted, you know, abilities to him. Like, he's very twitchy. He's, you know, very smart when it comes to football and understanding the game. And so, you know, two of those young guys could be really good. Looking forward for Tim coming back. You know, Tim, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be big. And I'm looking forward to, you know, how he develops, really. And so, you know, those are the guys I think you really can stand out.
You've worn jersey number 34 your first 2 years here. Mm-hmm. If it's available when it's your turn to pick, this summer, are you sticking with 34?
Yes.
How early did you pick last year? Did you have any concerns about 34 not being available?
I don't think so. I actually forget exactly where I picked. But I think I didn't really have any real concerns 34 was going to get picked. I don't even think 34 is really like a popular number. So.
Given your background as a receiver, you ever push the coaches about letting you be a two-way player and run a little offense too?
Man, I got to master one side of the ball first before I can ask to go on the other side. So.
All right, that's the perfect answer. Your major here is youth and social innovation, right?
Yeah.
That's in the Curry School. What interested you about that major and what's it been like so far?
When I went to my academic coordinator, Chase Gibson, and, you know, I told him, like, I proposed my idea with him. I told him, like, I really want to be a teacher of some sort, but I don't want to be, like, a classroom teacher. You know, I just want to, you know, I want to be able to educate people and, like, help the youth in a positive way. And so he was like, he mentioned, like, there's this new program that just started and called Youth and Social Innovation. And so they have, like, a little fair you can go to and you can learn more about it. And so I went to that, and I really kind of understood, you know, they had one of the faculty members, you know, give a description of what it was. And immediately I knew that's exactly what, you know, I wanted. And so I applied for it, and I got in, and so I've been taking classes since the fall.
Well, good. Well, it sounds like a good major, and I'm glad you're happy in it. Thanks again for making time for this. I know this is a busy time of year for you, as if there are any times that aren't that busy. The final football practice of the spring is next Saturday, April the 28th at Scott Stadium, and it's free and open to the public. For more information on that event, as well as information on all our other teams, be sure to check virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.